time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. We are here yet again in your ear canal, walking around talking shit. You know what I mean? Pardon self.
Word up.
It's like, can't say that shit. Pardon self. Anyway, Muhammad, man, what's good with you, man? How you feeling?
Feeling good. You know what I'm saying? Getting in the zone, focusing my mind, wrapping my mind around being refreshed and renewed, doing some, you know, some meditative studies, not very officially, but on my own, self-taught meditative studies, you know what I'm saying? Learning how to get up in the morning, focus my mind first before I get into things, seeing how that will play out in my space. calling for new information, receiving new information, placing myself in spaces where I need to be and where I want to be versus just letting life blow me through the wind like a leaf or some shit. So I've been on that. It's kind of crazy. It sounds crazy as I'm saying it because it's not like your day-to-day activities per se, you know what I'm saying, when you say them, even though it's part of my day-to-day activities, but when I say them, it sounds far out and weird. But that's what the fuck I've been doing, you know what I'm saying, walking, making sure that keep my walks in where I could, if my mind get kind of out of focus, I'll go walking and try to keep that shit on track. So yeah, that's how I've been, man. It's an interesting place in life. So just taking it day by day, as the white folks would say.
That's a white folk thing? Only the white?
That's what the white folks in the hospital would say. That's okay. Right. Every time you ask the doctor, like, now how long it take? Well, just take it day by day. It's day by day. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say that, not in general. You know what I mean?
I got you.
That's a very specific line.
No, for sure. That's funny when you said I'm just getting in the zone. It took me so much not to be like AutoZone, because that's the power of advertising. That jingle was right there, AutoZone. I ain't even hit the note how they hit the note.
See, that's how nigga would do you too. You be saying some serious shit, nigga. Just buzzing AutoZone, like nigga.
Exactly, nigga be exactly trying to expound on some real shit. Yeah, that is old ADHD. Nah, but I feel you about you know, shit, man. Just managing and being deliberate and doing what you need to do on every level.
Right.
I'm trying to recalibrate my circadian rhythms.
Yo, who?
But yeah. I'm just trying to make sure I'm getting good sleep now.
No, what was that? What was that word you used?
I tried to use circadian.
Oh.
And yeah, and if I'm correct, because you know it's so funny, I was like, let me make sure that I'm actually using the word correct. Circadian, the biological process recurring naturally on a 24-hour cycle, even in the absence of light fluctuations. So yeah, you know, trying to get get in sync with, I guess, the world, with the sun. You know what I'm saying?
Like, sun and the moon.
But sun and the moon. I mean, that's a lofty goal. On the real, I'm just trying to get better sleep. You know what I'm saying? Because my schedule is not really aligned with the sun and the moon. My shit is more with the moon more often than the sun. I like to get with the sun, though, for sure. But, you know, like, I was like, you know what, man? Last night, I said, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep at 10 p.m. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had no shows. I'm going to go to sleep at 10 p.m. I'm going to see how that go. You know what I'm saying? I've been thinking about the whole setting a bedtime. You know what I'm saying? Just to make sure you get the good sleeping. Because there's times when I'm not fucking sleeping. You know? And that shit will age you. That shit will kill you if you don't get enough sleep. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's not even like I'm not getting sleep because I'm working a graveyard shift. Oftentimes, it's just because I'm just fucking scrolling or I'm sliding through YouTube, you know, watching a bunch of shit that I could watch the next day. You know what I'm saying? Or I feel as though I'm struck by some idea and now I just need to have my laptop open and, you know, it ain't really exactly what I think it is, but I'm just up, you know? Mm. So I said, yo, man, let me, and I was downtown and I had a productive day and I didn't sleep that good Sunday night. So I had a productive Monday and I was downtown. I was on my way back up to the spot and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep at 10 o'clock. Like I had that in my mind. I was like, yeah, nigga, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then sure enough, about 9 o'clock came. I washed dishes and shit. Shower, did everything that I needed to do to be ready to just to lay it down at 10 o'clock. I put my phone in the living room, you know what I mean? And then I tried to, you know, unplug. Mm-hmm. And my only commitment was, and I'll tell you what I did do. Because sometimes I do this just so, I guess it's like some type of white noise. Mm-hmm. Like what I'll do is I might put on a podcast, right, or audible book, and put the timer on for about 45 minutes. Just some background noise, just because sometimes it could be hard for me to just go straight to sleep when it's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So there's various audible books. For a while, I was listening to the Obama book for a minute. I'm listening to the Cicely Tyson book recently, and it's ill too. On a side note, it's ill because so much of what we're going through now, they was going through back in 68. You know what I'm saying? It's like, exactly, you know, identical. But anyway, so that was on for 45 minutes, and that 45 minutes seemed to have flown by. So now, I'm just laying in the bed, and my thing was, don't go out, don't look at your phone, don't turn the TV on, just lay in this darkness, play dead, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. Whatever's going to take, you got to go to sleep. Only thing you get up, if you got to go to the bathroom, get up, use the bathroom, come back. But other than that, commit to the mission. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you talk about meditation, you know, because meditation is always about settling and dealing with the thoughts. Man, it took me at least 3 hours to even get sleepy, you know, like, and it's just me and my thoughts, and I'm having all of these thoughts, and then I'm fighting the urge because I got the thought, and I'm like, let me get up and write this down or type this up or whatever, whatever. I'm like, nah, trust the fact that if it's truly brilliant, you will remember it tomorrow. You know what I mean? And then, like, my mind went all over the place. I'm unpacking, oh, shit, I should have done that. Like, everything. I did some fake yoga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to do anything I could do to get my ass to go to sleep. And finally, you know, I went to sleep. And then, and I felt good about the fact that I, like, committed to it. But man, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Everybody, you know, I've been hearing these people talk about, oh, I'm always in bed by 10 o'clock and I'm probably asleep by 11. And you know, that takes some training. That's discipline. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was going through being awake withdrawal. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, yo, it was tough. But I got it. I got to it. I got through it. And yeah, man, I woke up well-rested. Which is
what time is you go sleep?
Man, after one, for sure. But it wasn't due to me just scrolling. Because sometimes if I'm just on my phone, I scrolling and swiping or whatever fuck. You know what I mean? Like I could do all of that, and I could be up until about 3-4 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? And then wake up and then have to really be in the world, you know, I like to be up at a certain time because I don't want to miss out on the sun. So I wound up sleeping 4 or 5 hours or whatever. And it's just like, I'm trying to mitigate as much as I can. There's so you could be stressed out about certain things. And it's just like what they say, you know, I just start to look at these little checklists on how to avoid disease and ultimately how to live a good life. Mm-hmm. Sleep is always at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, let me just lay my ass down, put my ass to sleep. Like, just do that shit. And I ain't gonna lie, again, it was a struggle. I'm just laying there in the darkness, and I just had to commit to it. It was wild. But I'm gonna try to do it again. For sure.
Darkness.
Yes. Yep. See. Burr. ADHD.
Yeah. You got.
Yeah, man. It is what it is.
Hey, man. Yeah. But see, the thing is, you got to tap into the traps of it. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be laying in the darkness, you probably should set your mind to it's about to be darkness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you you're going to put all the stuff away, is, you know, zero dark 30. You know what I'm saying? Any of the analogies that go along with your goal could mm-hmm. help, you know? So, man, when I was, you know, I was in a situation where my brain just took the hours that it needed. It ain't even asked. It ain't give you no mm-hmm. choice. It's like, fuck it, nigga, we out. I'm like, wait. Right. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know, I probably ain't had that much rest ever in my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I got what I ended up doing. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my people in Miami. They was like, you know, and you need to put on some pajamas, nigga. And just some real pajamas. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get ready for bed. And it's amazing how much that shit helped. You rest a whole lot differently. I put on mm-hmm. the motherfucking shit. You button all the way up to the top. I look like a nigga off of TV. In mm-hmm. the 1950s TV pajamas.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that shit helped. That shit put my mind like, yeah, it's time for bed. Poof. So you might want to, you know what I'm saying, look at a little pair of PJs and shit.
Some PJs. Label PJs out. No, for sure. It's destination dressing. Dressing for what you want, where you want to be. Exactly. Want to be sleep? Put that sleep shit on. Yeah.
Right. Because you know what I'm saying? Before you just, you know, shit, get out of the shower, you just put your drawers mm-hmm. on, go to bed. You know what I'm saying? A little mm-hmm. t-shirt.
Yeah.
That shit hit different. That shit hit different when you put your whole PJs on. They fresh and clean. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? You got your sleep shoes, your little house shoes on. Walk around that motherfucker. Get your last little bit of water. That shit feel like bedtime.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, all of that. Yeah, it's a. I don't say a culture. But it is definitely a setting that you put together. Everything you're saying, you put that whole thing together. It indicates to your body, oh, it's time.
It's time.
That's what we're doing. Okay,
And see, I'm from a world, and probably a lot of us are from a world where none of that really mattered. You know what I'm saying? You just went till you was out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You didn't have destination sleepwear. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
You just said go to bed. You know what I'm saying? You shit wasn't no PJs since the goddamn Spider-Man fits and shit from back in the day.
Right.
What did you call them? Pajamas? With the different
underoos?
Underoos.
No, that's drawers. That's
underoos, but they had pajamas too.
Yeah.
But you know, our pajamas wasn't nothing but drawers and a t-shirt anyway, so.
Hilarious.
So. Yeah, I ain't had that since then. So it's like once, shout out to you know, the staff at Revolt, because they are shout out to Monique and Veronica. Veronica had a wardrobe, and when I was in the hospital, they bought a whole thing of pajamas. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
I didn't get them till I got home, but once I got them, I was like, oh shit, I got some PJs right here. Destination dressing. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like you said, right. It puts you in the mind frame. You get up like, shit, I've been asleep. Let me get into my day. And you don't think about that type of shit until you're doing it. It's like, oh, shit, this is actually cool.
Yeah, you're preparing for something. You know? Yeah, that's true.
So you should think about that, man, on your sleep, on your sleep mission.
Check it out. A little sleep tuxedo.
Yeah,
you
know? Hell yeah.
Man. Stick to it. We'll see how it goes. Stick to it. You can go get me some pajamas. No, for sure. I'm out here. That just sounds like such an adult goal now. You know how, like, you know, like, I remember I used to talk to, like, my grandmother or certain people that were older, and their goal for the day was just the errands they were going to run. You know, like, my grandma was like, what you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go to the market and, you know, probably pick up some turkey wings and maybe go down to Macy's and pick up some pajamas. And that is it. That's the day. You know what I mean? That was the goal for the day. And if that got done, that got done. You know, sometimes it's just a simple goal. Get that done. Go get them pajamas. I'll tell you something else, man. I don't know if I'm becoming. We'll see if it holds. But I might be flirting with being a tote bag nigga. You know what I'm saying?
A tote bag or a merce?
No, not a merce. I don't even, and we gotta, let's talk about it because we might have to unpack it. I don't know where the line of demarcation is or I know what a satchel is. A tote bag, I might be TBD, tote bag D. The reason I take a difference between a tote bag and a merce or a satchel, I feel like that's shoulder work. I feel like when you put it on your shoulder, it's getting purse adjacent.
Real mercy.
Yes, exactly. Murcielago. You know, I keep it in the tote bag. I'm just holding the tote bag by the top of the straps, and I'm rocking that shit like some groceries. I'm playing it like that.
A tote is fine. Tote, you know what I'm saying? I had a little travel envy recently. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I went to Miami, and you know what I'm saying? And it was a nice-ass tote. It was a Louis tote, you know what I'm saying? You could tell it was an authentic piece, you know what I'm saying? It was the Louis bag that was a tote with the, you know what I'm saying, it had the actual stamp from with your initials and the shit. You don't see a lot of people with the stamp.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So it had the stamp, but the stamp was in red on top of the Louis shit. And I'm like, damn, pops. That shit busting. And I'm rocking around this motherfucker with my little backpack. I'm like, I need to step my game up. So you might be on to something because you travel a lot. You go places. You know what I'm saying? It's worth it.
For sure. Similar to you. I'm out here with the backpack looking like a G.I. Joe that ain't been deployed. You know what I mean? I just started to feel a way about it. I'm not double strapping the backpack like that. I still, you know what I mean? I try to play it as cool as I can, but I was like, you know what? Let me see. Because I had so many tote bags. I don't have any Louis tote bags or nothing like that. But I, you know, from these years, all these subscriptions, I got a bunch of, like, you know, the Canvas joints, the New Yorker, Architectural Digest, and a bunch of them. You know what I mean? All of them. And they just been folded up in the closet. And what got me into it was they were giving away these little tote bags at the library last summer that I got one. And it's cool, but it's not the sturdiest. It's been holding me down. But you know, sometimes when you're dealing with a bag that's not the sturdiest, it's almost like it's a ticking time bomb. You know, you got little time. You know what I mean? Like, you need to figure it out. So I started, that was kind of what, it was the gateway tote bag. And then I said, you know what, let me unpack one of these tote bags from the spot. And then I like it. And what I do like about it, because again, I'm not throwing it on the shoulder, I'm just holding it, right? Mm-hmm. So it also makes me be a little bit more discerning about what I'm carrying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if I'm dealing with the book bag, sometimes I could put too much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But with the tote bag, it's like, you don't need to bring all that. Just take a couple things. Because I think also it fits the aesthetic when it's not, you know, chunky looking crazy. You know, that starts to look. Again, I'm not all the way into the tote bag community. I'm at the foyer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just at the beginning of it all. But these are the things that I'm peeping. And I'm like, yeah, man. I'm just like, I think this could be it. And then now I started looking around at the tote bags. I haven't jumped to the Louis. What they call those? The Neverfold or whatever those shits. I forget the name of those.
I don't know the real name. But, I just know they Weekenders. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, they fly. They'll fly. And I do like to your point, when you hit them with the monogram. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever inscription or something to identify. So it's not just an anonymous ass Louis. It's yours. You know what I mean? That's when you make it yours. But I was peeping the LL Bean joints. You know, I like LL Bean as a company, even though I don't mess with them. I just like the fact that I think they still got a lifetime warranty with everything.
Mm-hmm.
I respect a lifetime warranty. I can dig it. But, you know, I think what also, besides the fact that, you know, I ain't really want to run around with a book bag as much anymore, what made me kind of reconsider tote bags is how crazy people are going over these tote bags. You know, Trader Joe's, which is not a supermarket I really frequent like that. I never truly got the hype. But, like, Trader Joe's tote bags, people go crazy for them. Like, they be out there reselling them. They do a drop and they be gone. Yeah. And people are going crazy over them. You know? That's interesting. Yeah. They got this is probably earlier this year or maybe, yeah, something like that.
There's more like a shopping bag type tote?
It's like a, you know, it's their tote bag, shopping bag, but it just says Trader Joe's on the side. Mm-hmm. They had some in various colors and things like that. Mm-hmm. I came across a video on Instagram where literally, and it was in the city, there was a line outside like it was Supreme.
Mm.
And the lady was like, all right, y'all get one bag a person, all right? Now, let's be orderly about this. And they said, okay, we open. When I tell you the stampede, it was an orderly stampede, but they... That little pallet of tote bags went down so fast. I was like, damn, what the fuck is going on here? You know. But, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. I'm out here. Anybody in the tote bag community, you know, reach out. Let me know. Let me know what I need to know. You know what I'm saying? Let me know your favorite material, your favorite tote bag purveyor. You know, how long you been in the tote bag game. If you are in it, let me know if you still in the book bag game. You know what I mean? You know, like, and how you feel about that. You know what I'm saying? Talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's have that. Let's open that dialogue.
Word up.
Yeah, man.
Nah, that's what's up. Yeah, I ain't in the market for the tote yet, but I see where it could live in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? About to bring the Lex truck home this week. So, got to get my little outdoorsy situation together. A couple flannel shirts and, you know what I'm saying? Some nice boots and, you know what I'm saying? Hike a hike and do all of the, you know what I'm saying? Outdoorsy things come fall. I missed the summer with it, so. I had to go fall with it, you know, and that's my favorite time of a year anyway. So, especially in Atlanta, when the leaves and the hues and the browns and the, you know, we live in the forest pretty much. So when the leaves start turning orange and red and brown and shit, that shit is a nice look. It's a nice touch on the city, turning to a different place. So I'm looking forward to that. But I got to get, you know, the items to match what I envision it to be. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So,
okay.
I'm all for it. I got to get a mother. Not that I'm about to get all this shit. This is just the vision. You know what I'm saying? Got to get a nice little fucking Yeti. You know what I'm saying? For good, good shit in the truck. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Goddamn. a nice colorful blanket to go with it. You know what I'm saying? To just keep in the truck just in case a nigga might want to sit down somewhere outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, of course, like the hiking boots, like I said, and some of the outdoorsy gear just to bring it all in. And it ain't really for nothing because nobody will probably ever see it. You know what I'm saying? But for you to feel a part of the outdoor thing that you're trying to do. Touch the ground. Do some grounding. You know what I'm saying? Read the clouds. Goddamn. Just be out there. You know what I mean? Change of pace from the day-to-day grind.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to that. I could do it in Paul any car, Bunyan, but it'll feel better when you're in the in the outdoor truck.
Yeah, it makes sense. It matches the aesthetic. Yeah, right. Nah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, like you said, nigga got dressed for the occasion.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. It's wardrobe now.
No, for real. Yeah. Yeah, it's because we had that age, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, back in the day, nigga go outdoors in some cut-off corduroys. You know what I'm saying? Converse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nigga ain't prepared for shit. Nigga got mosquito bites, all kind of shit. Like, cause you don't know about that. You know what I'm saying? You just outside.
Just out in the world.
You know what I'm saying?
Figuring it out.
Yeah. So I think as a grown up, you have a better idea how you want to do these things. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I would like to do, start dressing for that occasion. It is, you know, change your mind, you know what I'm saying? Like some, like my pops, we always talking about changing latitude is a change in attitude. But so is, you know what I'm saying, a change in your appearance to do the thing that you're about to do. So if you're going to play football, a nice set of pads and, you know what I'm saying, your jersey selection matters. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to play ball on the court, you know what I'm saying? The right ball shoes gonna matter. Some niggas get all the way too dressed to go to court and then get cooked. But luckily, luckily outdoors and it's not a competitive sport to me.
That's crazy.
that nigga pull up on a nigga. That nigga look like this nigga dressed to the T. That nigga got all outdoor shit on. Nigga ain't climbed one mountain.
Not at all.
Couldn't start a fire to save his life.
Nope. Yeah, but not at all. I
look like I can. At a certain point, I will.
Mm.
So if you take a picture and put it on the ground, I'm going to look the part.
Authority. People going to ask you about that shit. For sure. Yeah, man.
So
that's what it is.
Yeah, so I'm on that. I could dig it. You know what I'm saying? But as you are definitely traveling and going to the shows and doing the things, you got to have the shit to carry you through it. Like, oh, yeah, that nigga, he's serious about whatever the fuck he got going on because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it does look like that. When you got the proper accoutrements, you look serious. You look like a serious, you know what I mean? A serious man. Man don't play no game. Yeah, for sure.
Have all the right tools and shit, nigga. A nigga got everything. Nigga. Nigga got the right kind of lighter to light the fire and your cigar. You know what I'm saying? Nigga got the right fucking hiking boots, the right socks.
Right.
Man, ask that nigga to start the fire.
Do that.
Go. Listen,
I ain't come here for all of that.
The lighter right there. Just go into the motherfucking case right there to the left. Yeah.
There you go.
But a nigga will usher the good time, nigga. Nigga will crack the jokes, pop the champagne, poof, hey, cheers, motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? he won't be able to do none of that real shit.
Come on. Now we're here for the aesthetic.
The real outdoorsmen be out there motherfucking chopping wood to build a fire. Like, where it up. That's not right now. That's not. All right, y'all. We got to go. It's about to get dark.
Mm-hmm. It's getting chilly. Come on, man. You got a flannel on. I'm saying.
It's just a little. You know what I'm saying? It's about time. You know what I'm saying?
Pack this out, you know. Mm-hmm. Y'all be cool, though. Y'all going to stay out here. Y'all be cool, man. Stay safe.
They say we got a flashlight. They be talking about your ass when you leave. This nigga came all out here with all this fancy gear on and shit. I ain't seen him do shit but drink that champagne and smoke that cigar.
Right. Take them photos.
Oh, he gonna look good on the gram.
Yeah. Outdoor influencer.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Hashtag outdoorsy.
Survivalist. Nigga's a survivalist. Get it? Shit. Anyway. Oh, man.
That's shit, some funny man. Shit right there.
Yeah, man. Hey. Did you see the fight?
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw the fight, man.
Good fight. That was a good fight. I mean,
yeah, that's probably the best fight I done seen since the 90s, nigga. But let me qualify that by saying I am a super, not even that casual viewer of the fights now. You know what I'm saying? So don't get up in arms at me because I don't know. Because it's probably been a bunch of them, but I've missed them. That's all.
Yeah.
I was in the room when the, who was that? Wasn't that Tank? Not nigga out last year. I was in the room when that happened, but that was it. And before we get to the fight, I was in the room, and I was actually taking a picture of the room when he knocked the nigga out. You know what I'm saying? I was taking a picture, and it was a live picture. So if I hit the live, you'll see him actually make the punch, that point where he made the punch. So that was weird.
Yeah.
I'll send that shit to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that shit was dope though. I ain't know too much about Canelo. I had heard of a Bud, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I had never watched him fight. That nigga could fight.
Oh yeah. No, Bud is nice. I just got hip to Bud, similar to you. I'm a casualty. Y'all know this. I've been saying, you know, I've been kinda slowly paying attention to it, you know. I feel like they've been promoting this fight for a long time. I guess it has to do with the fact that it was on Netflix, so Netflix got that budget, you know. So they've been marketing this fight for a long time, because oftentimes I hear about a fight the day or two beforehand or after the fact. Like this was so well promoted that I almost scheduled my evening around. Because I went to an event earlier in the day, and I left the event because I've watched enough fights to realize the main event typically starts at midnight, you know? So I left the spot to get home cool by midnight and be good. Not this main event. This shit ain't start till damn near 1 o'clock. So that kind of threw me a little bit. But
that's how all
similar to you. Yeah, you be fighting sleep. But similar to you, I'd heard Canelo's name quite a bit. Now, the way they were talking about him, like, you know, they were saying Canelo's a bad motherfucker, right?
He's the boogeyman, and he is.
But I saw the Bud fight, the last one with Spencer, with Spence, and he put on a clinic. Then that's when I was like, oh, this kid is serious. I remember that was my introduction. I was like, oh, this kid is serious. So I knew about him, but the way they was talking about Canelo and the fact that, you know, Crawford was coming up weight classes and all of that, it was that type of thing. So, you know, throughout the fight, at least to like the seventh round, I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for Canelo to activate this Canelo shit that I've been hearing about. I'm on the edge of my seat, like, you know what I mean? Like, well, okay, at some point, Canelo is going to turn into the Canelo that I had heard about. Not to say that he didn't do his thing or do what he needed to do, but I had to realize, you know, Crawford just outboxed him. He was nice. He's a technician. He, as they say, he is elite. He's the best of his generation.
Yeah.
Bad.
The trip shit was, you hear all that shit leading up to it. And then when I turned it on, them announcers, good God. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't think they were good?
No, that wasn't about them being good. They just had goddamn Canelo's glizzy in a choke the whole night. Man. Yeah, you know, he's, you know, when he hits him with that right, you got to look out for that right. You know, his strength is cutting the ring off. Look at him. Look at him go. Pop, pop, pop. Right. Oh, that was cool. Yeah. But look at Canelo. You know what I'm saying? Damn. Am I watching the same thing as they saying? Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
They was just, but the way that, first of all, with Crawford, right, I had already seen the video a couple times. I seen it when it first came out. Then I seen it up leading up to it where his mama was like, she told him he wasn't going to be shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, damn.
And his daddy said he was going to be a champion. But his mama told him he wasn't going to be shit. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, I pay kids in the neighborhood $10 if they could whoop them. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I was like, shit, nigga, that's some hardcore shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To wrap your mind around. Prove to your mama, I don't care who you send over here, I can whoop them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Damn.
And then, so I take that, right? And then I'm looking at this nigga, and
that's crazy, first of all.
Yeah, nigga.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, she said this out of her own mouth, man. It wasn't like nobody a testimony. She said
mom's it. Out here bankrolling ass whippings.
She said it. She was like, I told him he wasn't going to be shit. So I was like, man, so I had to let that sit for a minute. So now I'm watching this fight and I'm looking at him, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you could see how most fighters, they get to, you know, they don't have no feelings about fighting. They just out there to do what they came to do.
Right.
But for some reason, when I look in his face, I guess because I saw that story, I take it out of the ring and I can see a nigga just, as a kid, just fighting niggas and shit. Like, nah, you can't whoop that nigga. That nigga know how to fight. You know what I'm saying? So now, get back in the ring, and you know he got, you know he got his technical shit because he's a boxer, of course. And then he in whooping, boop, boop, boop. You know what I'm saying? You can see how them early rounds, he just testing the waters on him, boop, boop, boop. You know what I'm saying? Canelo hit him with some shit, but he kept that shit up, and so. Once they got to the 10th, 11th, that shit was closing in. They was talking about how Crawford done won all these rounds. I'm like, shit, this nigga gonna have to knock Crawford out to win. You know what I'm saying? But then Crawford turned that shit up. Like he switched gears on that nigga. He started hitting that nigga with them combo. Bop, 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 bang, boom. Oh, shit. That nigga had the look of confusion coming around about the 9th, 10th round, man. That nigga started getting confused. 11-12, nigga, it was over, man. He was whooping them up, man.
Yeah.
He worked them out.
Yeah, because he had to be undeniable. He couldn't leave it up to the judges.
Right.
He had to really, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like convincing. He said. And now it's really, I really haven't seen a nigga go 12 and turn that bitch up at 10. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Like, I'm like, oh, shit, this nigga, he trained to preserve.
Yeah.
Like, I got it in the can for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Let me open it up.
Tell me that origin story about his moms. That explains so much.
You know what I'm saying?
That explains a lot. Damn, moms.
I was like, wait a minute. Is that his mama right there?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's some hell of a shit, man. I don't give a fuck how rich that nigga is. That's hell of a shit, man. And you know, like, you know the comments on the internet be so crazy. Cause everybody pick a side. You know what I'm saying? And it's just straight, I'm gonna comment to my side regardless of what the fuck this shit is. And like somebody heard his mom said that. She said it right out of her mouth. You know what I'm saying? She looked like she regretted saying it, but she did it. And then motherfucker in the comment would be like, Yeah, his mom was doing that reverse psychology. Nigga.
That's how you justify trauma.
Ain't no such thing as reverse psychology on a 7-year-old talking about you ain't going to be shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Nigga. In hopes that you turn out to be shit. Mm-hmm. Man, right. I don't give a fuck how you twist it, man. That shit was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, but the fight was good, man.
For sure. And he looked like, I said this last time when I seen him box, kind of looked like Kendrick Lamar, too.
You know what I mean?
So he got the same serious nature, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like real skilled, but serious. You know what I'm saying?
Man. If your mama was talking about you on shit, nigga. And you out here fighting niggas every day, nigga. You serious as fuck.
And don't you say shit about his mother. That's the crazy shit. His mom's could abuse him, but don't you say no shit.
Nigga, ain't nobody else in this world abusing me. I'm whooping ass, nigga.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's probably somebody from CPS nursing the black eye back in the day trying to save this kid.
Like, you can't, like, when you come across that kid in the neighborhood, nigga.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing you could do, man. I don't care, man. You got to go ahead and cross the street. Them niggas, man, they have so much pent up shit. It's that nigga who go home, get whoopers every day to the point where he grabbed the belt and then stared his mama straight in the eyes. You know what I'm saying? You can't hurt me.
Right.
Oh, you got to leave that nigga alone, man.
Because if you do fight the cat, that ass whipping ain't even about you. That's the thing. That's the worst. Talking about back to the monogram tote bag, it's worse getting an anonymous ass whipping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where that shit ain't even personal. This is just business. This is just some catharsis.
Right.
You know what I mean? Shit.
It's like they say, you done fuck with the right one on the right day, nigga.
Yeah, man. It's over.
You like, it's wait the fuck. It was just a joke. God ain't no damn.
Ref. Ain't no ref. Ain't nobody to break it up either.
You don't want to mess with them kind of kids, man. Yeah, that nigga got shit. And now he trained. So, man. Shout out to that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, salute. That's it. You got to salute. You know what I mean?
You know how in the hood, nigga, it's certain currencies you got that ain't money, nigga. Whooping ass is one of them. Yeah. Telling jokes is the other.
Yeah. Talking shit. Hell yeah. And Bud, it makes sense. Bud is one of them names of a motherfucker. You know, that's an old school ass name.
Dry ass nickname. Yeah,
Bud. Don't fuck with a nigga named Bud. That nigga been
throwing hay since he was three.
Absolutely.
Bud, you bailed that corner today? Yeah, I did, motherfucker. 62 bales.
Yeah. Damn.
That nigga from Omaha, Nebraska, nigga? Yeah, Come on, man. I didn't even know they made Mad Hood niggas in Omaha, Nebraska.
It's Bud and it's Malcolm X. You know? Serious men.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Serious. Niggas serious in Omaha, boy. Shit. Ain't nothing to laugh about out here. There's nothing to laugh about out here, man. We trying to. Don't listen. Ain't going back and forth with you. That's one thing Bud don't do. You don't want to go back and forth with Bud.
Right.
The only other Bud I know is Bud from the Cosby Show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bud. Bud. That shit is crazy, man. Oh man, but yeah, he beat shit out of Canelo.
Yeah, but again, I had like some of his old highlights, you know what I'm saying? You know, nigga be watching the highlights.
Canelo or Bud? Because I do want to watch some old Canelo to see what the
Canelo was very formidable. You could tell, you know what I'm saying? The nigga was measured as he did it. He surgically attacked that nigga. He ain't just going in and brawled him per se. But he will stay in there and get
and
with
fight,
him.
Mix it up.
But
you know Canelo's a bad man because when you know you fighting another real fighter, when you get the best of that fighter and they still give you respect, they don't pull no punches, you know, they listen, you did that. You know, listen, hats off. That was a good one. We mixed it up in there, you know, like it is what it is. Then also when you hit it, Canelo walked away with $100 million. Shit, come on now.
Hey, man.
I understand that.
Good night and God bless.
You no need to be upset, baby. Listen, congratulations. You did your thing. Hear these belts. Give me that check. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I am going back. I'm going to the casa.
This is for La Raza.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm going.
Adios.
You know what I mean? Shit. But shit, man.
Yeah, that was a tough fight though, man. I appreciate it. And I ain't had to pay pay-per-view. Good God.
Beautiful, huh? Ain't that some shit? More, come on, Netflix, put some more up there.
Yeah.
Like Netflix, that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. And then Tank gotta go fight Jake Paul. That shit sound crazy.
Yeah, that shit.
After this serious ass shit, he about to go ahead and do that foolery.
Yeah, he about to go get paid. Oh, speaking of foolery, Mayweather versus Tyson is some more
foolery
shenanigans. You know what I mean? Shenanigans.
That's some shenanigan again.
Oh man. Go ahead, man. Go. But you know what? Like, that's also part of the game. Get your money, do the exhibition, you know, because it's a tough listen. That's a tough journey, you know, to get to the point to where, like what you said a while ago when we were talking about Tyson versus Paul, sometimes you gotta cash out on your legacy as often as you can. Mm-hmm. And if y'all done built all of that legacy equity, you know, to where y'all could both walk away with a few good million to just slap box, some glorified slap boxing. Yeah, people might be mad, but they ain't going to say shit to your face. That's the other thing about that.
They not going to say shit to your creditors. You know what I'm saying? Your mortgage company. None of that.
Shit. Not at all. Not at all. You ain't got to worry about that. So, yeah, go grab your paper. But it is kind of like that. I just hope that. This is what I hope. This is, you know, again, I'm casual, so I'm not even super invested. But here I go. But, you know, like when I see Tank, who's at the prime of his career, you know, take a fight with Jake Paul for some money play. Or even Mayweather and Tyson, who are both at the, you know, the twilight of their career. It's over, but they're getting the money play. I just hope they funnel some of that bread. Some of it. They don't have to. But maybe funnel some of that bread back into the game. Maybe promote. Maybe they at a point to where they could kind of leverage how Jake Paul is leveraging his platform. Mm-hmm. But do it in a way that's a little bit even more true to the game. But again, that's my own casual expectation.
That's hard.
Do what you want.
That's hard when you ain't from the internet generation to try to jump in like Jake. Jake Paul is a juggernaut by himself. He did some shit that ain't been done. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He presented something that is different from the exhibitionist before. Like, he built himself as a fighter by himself. You know what I'm saying? And YouTubed his way to millions. You know what I mean? So that's a different, you know, it would be tough for Mike Tyson to try to start and do that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying in that same
route,
you know, but you know, just like hopefully, I mean, and listen, truth be told, the three of them, Tank, Mayweather, or Tyson, they've already given the game more than enough. So if they take that money and just keep it for themselves, again, who gonna say anything? You know what I'm saying? Listen, that's not my business.
All right, y'all. I'm disappearing to the villa in the south of France. Adios.
Right. Exactly. And don't say shit, you know, because I do give out, you know what I mean, ass whippings in the air. Remember when Tyson beat that motherfucker up on the plane? It was just a little taste. It was just a little, you know, a little appetizer, a little, you know, just an amuse bouge, as they say, a little palate cleanser. You know what I'm saying? He talking all that shit. Let me just show you something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting. I want to kind of talk about this whole, the assassination, quote unquote, of the CK kid.
Who?
I'm not talking about Calvin Klein. I'm not talking about Louis. I don't really want to say the cats. The man, the podcaster that was killed just last week, right?
You know what I'm talking about? Or the podcaster?
Well, he's a podcaster who has been kind of propped up to be a politician.
I ain't know nothing about him.
I didn't know nothing about him either until he got shot. You know, like, I may have heard the name, but I was not at all familiar with him. Honestly, probably the closest thing that I had was I was watching, you know, I was watching South Park a couple weeks ago, and I had meant to jump on the pod and talk about how, you know, these are just the first two episodes of this most recent season. I was like, South Park is in their bag, and they saying the shit that, like, they pushing it. They, like, you know, just like they do. And it was just, it was refreshing to see. But one of the episodes was based on this dude, you know, you know, Charlie Kirk, right? It's based on him as he's a podcaster. Prove me wrong, you know? And so basically after he was shot and killed, that's when I kind of started to, like, you know, like, just go into his work, you know, see what he was known for, whatever, see the type of stuff he was talking about. And it wasn't fly. You know what I mean? He's very smug. It was basically what I was talking about a couple of pods ago about the the debate battles, you know? And, you know, a lot of stuff that he was talking about is racist. It was misogynistic. It was, you know, like, just, you know, just reducing people's humanity to just some old slick lines, you know, just a quick way to kind of just diminish whatever type of point you're saying with some, you know, some type of jargon or whatever. And these maybe dubious facts and, you know, shit like that and data. And so I was like, damn, all right, well, that's crazy, you know. But what's been blowing my mind is just like, and I don't like the term gaslighting, you know, it's just, it's become so much of a buzzword, but it's like this whole thing of how they're trying to reframe who he was, but not even just reframe who he was, but try to police the way people process what happened, you know? Like, I'm not mad at any, I don't want nobody to be killed, right? But if you were saying polarizing shit or hate speech, things of that nature, that's part of your legacy. We just had this conversation last week where it was like, the internet has receipts. You know, years ago, when I was growing up, there could be certain people that if it didn't make it into the textbook, or if you didn't read or hear about it later on from a documentary or whatever, their past is a little bit more murky. This ain't nothing but a Google search. It is still there. It ain't been wiped or nothing like that. But then I'm starting to see people like, you know, if you say anything bad about this man, we're going to try to get your driver's license revoked. Or, you know, they're trying to put him up there with Martin Luther King and things of that nature. And it's like, come on, bro. You can't be a bully and a victim, you know? Like, and, or, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I try not to even get triggered much because I realize this is just high-level trolling. Even when the stakes are as high as they are, there's still, I look at it as trolling because I don't even believe that y'all are that delusional. I just feel like this is just a concerted okie doke where it's like, you know, like, you know, and on similar note, I just seen that Trump is trying to, you know, take, I didn't know slavery was in national parks, but like just any reference to slavery, like they trying to whitewash and revise history in real time, and trying to also police and demonize you if you like, well, hold on, wait a minute, it's right here, what's going on here? So I just wanted to bring that up because it was just something that I'd been sitting with since this whole incident happened. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are on all of this.
Well, first of all, I think they politicize everything. You know what I'm saying? So whatever he was about, you know what I'm saying? Where they spending it, it ain't the same. You know what I'm saying? Where they spending it, it ain't the same person that killed him. You know what I'm saying? It ain't the same ideology as the person that killed him. But again, all of this is new because I didn't know him. I didn't know who he was before. You know what I mean? So right. I'm not hip to him. I'm not hip to what he on. You know what I'm saying? I just know in the aftermath, you know, you got the liberal people getting blamed for stuff. You got black women getting blamed for stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got
what we do. Like, right, it's like do.
But in the end of the day, the guy who did it, his parents are straight MAGA people. You know what I'm saying? They solid MAGAs. So I don't know, man. It's like, leave us out of y'all shit. This y'all shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, work that out. Yeah.
And I don't know nothing, but I ain't wish no ill will on, because I don't know the nigga. I ain't even never heard nothing he said, man. So my name Bennett. I ain't right. in it. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of people jumping in and talking about it, but I ain't got nothing to say because that would be disingenuous because I didn't follow along. I don't know what his standard and what the nuances of his rhetoric was. I didn't know he was a podcaster. I don't know shit, man. Leave me the fuck alone. I got enough shit to worry about. Just in my own life. I'm gonna go to bed, wake, fighting fights that I don't even know exist. And wake up, fight another fight. Next week is going to be something new. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, shit, man. I'm like Ray J meme. Shit, can a nigga just catch his motherfucking breath? You know what I'm saying? So.
I don't know that meme.
Oh, Ray J went on to, what's my man, the comedian?
Oh, Funny Marco.
Funny Marco. So he went on Funny Marco. And I guess, I don't know if he was late or whatever, but he came, he sat down, and then the producer, you could hear a producer, he was like, hold on, man, just let me chill for a second. Can a nigga just catch his motherfucking breath? That shit, I identify with that shit so wholeheartedly, nigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's an internal thing blaring in my head every time that shit come up in real life. I hear that meme. I hear Ray J say that shit. Can a nigga just catch his motherfucking breath?
No, I get it. And then to that point, to what you were saying, it's like I said, I didn't know nothing about him before the situation. But it's like they bogart the algorithm, because now you're going to know. And then the thing is, I guess also how the, you know, if you're in the business of engagement, it's peak engagement. So some of these quote unquote black sites are reporting on it, you know, because maybe they want the engagement or maybe they're not black. You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's everywhere. And for people to be inundated with this business that ain't our business, and then at the same time say, we can't speak on the business that's being presented. It's crazy. So yeah, to your point, I'm gonna look the other way. You know what I mean? It's gonna let it, you know, no, you know. And I don't even say no, because I don't mean no disrespect. But I don't want to be, you know. But look, that ain't to your point. Yeah, man, Bennett. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Yeah, man. Shit. what else? Anything else I want to talk to you about? You got anything you want to chop it up about? You got anything else on your mind?
Well, you know, Dame Dash went back on the Breakfast Club today.
Yeah. Yes.
And one thing I've pulled out of that thing is that Therapy Dame Dash is funny as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because he came in that motherfucker straight with therapy terminologies. He's like, okay, listen. You know what I'm saying? I got triggers. We need to set some boundaries here. You know what I'm saying? This shit was... And of course, they broke every boundary, triggered every person at the table. And it was funny because he actually came with the therapy verbiage and to the table and set it up real smooth and then commenced the roasting ass right off the, you know what I'm saying? Slightly and politely at first. Mm. And then once Charlamagne and Envy started getting in their feelings, it became an all out school ground roast session for real. You know what I'm saying? And you could barely get through the points, but even with that, you know what I'm saying? I felt I gained a new point of view on where Dame is. Because, again, yes, all you do see is he's broke. You know what I'm saying? He's bankrupt. He got child support. He got all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? But as you hear him break it down, he's like, yes, of course I'm broke. You know what I'm saying? Because none of the shit's in my name. It's in my trust. It's in the trust. Family trust. So, which makes sense. But, you know what I'm saying? They continue to run with the rhetoric of you're broke. You know, which I felt like was childish and played out. You know what I'm saying? When you got the man sitting right there to kind of go through it. But since he was roasting them so hard, very lightly and politely, they couldn't take it no more. They lost their wit. They lost their cool in the conversation, which kind of took it off the rails, which, you know, they've been doing this for 15 years. They should have a little, you know what I'm saying, a little more gravitas about themselves to keep it together. And, you know, but again, it did what it did. And it's going to be, they know what the talk on the internet going to be. And it's not going to make grown folks sense, but if you was really listening between the lines, it was a lot of little talk that was said. That if it hadn't been in a schoolyard purpose, in a schoolyard fashion, it would have made a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like when you see Dame on the internet, he had his crib in Montana on the farm. Boy, he had his crib on the lake. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a hell of a broke-ass lifestyle, you know? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you see people in the comments, shit, I want to be that kind of broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it seemed like they just went straight back to just the internet fodder. And that was kind of like what he was saying. He ain't had to go, you know what I'm saying, to the point of calling out the man's sexuality on it. But it was definitely dumb, as he said, to them, to their face.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, it got a little reckless because you're dealing with a nigga who got two of those currencies in the hood. Nigga, nigga will tell a joke and a nigga will fight. Even at a grown age of 54, 55.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, man. I fuck with Dame. I didn't like the comments. I wish it was a little bit more productive on both sides. I didn't like seeing that shit. I think that from that initial conversation, first time he came on the Breakfast Club, I think he kind of handled them in a way that they, you know, as Mike Jordan would say, took that personal. You know what I'm saying? So there was kind of, it made it contentious, right? Mm-hmm. Even from, like, because I ain't gonna lie, when I first saw, I think I saw Dame, like, he posted about him being on the Breakfast Club. I was like, all right, bet. I can't wait to see it, right? And then when the video dropped, I don't know if it's still the same title, but it was just like Dame Dash defends his worth.
Right.
And dot, 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 dot. And I was like, ugh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Sometimes I don't like that. It's one of these things to where you can't really fight with the internet, you know, like, because now the internet is like everything. Now, you know, we call it the United States of America, but we divide it, you know, and everybody's in a silo and everybody's in their camps, whether it's Dems or Republicans, is MAGA, or is the far left, was Kendrick or Drake, or that nigga broke, now that nigga talking that shit. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But I don't know. It was interesting, but it was a tough watch. It was a tough watch. I'm not gonna lie. It was a tough watch. What I do like about Dame, and I've said this before, I said last week, you know, it's the same other thing. Like, this is broke. That's a, you know, the context for his broke is damn near aspirational broke. But also, what I appreciate is, at least on his platform, when it's not being the pushback of the, you know, it's he telling you what's going on. Like, his whole thing is, I always put money out. I keep money in the streets. I don't keep money for my, I'm investing, I'm reinvesting in, I'm doing what I do, and I might be down, I might be up, but this is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what business looks like to some. For some people, there's a spectrum to how you do business, but this, for what I do, this is how I do what I do, mm-hmm. right? And it might not match your ideal for what you see as business or safe business or living, you know, the right way. And, you know, I think there's a disconnect, you mm-hmm. know, there's so many people that view success in a certain way mm-hmm. that they can't fathom anything opposite. So they only looking at what they see. They only looking at the optics. I thought one thing that he was kind of saying, it was kind of ill, was like, you know, and he said it was a ruse or whatever. He's like, you know, but I wanted to, you know, I took the photo with no teeth in my mouth. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I had the eye patch on, you mm-hmm. know, like, because I know y'all going to bite on that. You know what I mean? Right. I know that that's gonna bring about the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to say it before y'all say it.
Right. So he's always been in control of his narrative. You know what I mean? This is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And the other thing is, you know, I'm one of these people, I ain't never going, I'm not going to dismiss Dame Dash because his contribution to the game is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there was times when I was street teaming up there. You know what I mean? So I would be at, like, what was it, 60 John? Like, the back in the day, the small office. And I would see him in the office talking that shit. Like, it mm-hmm. was, oh, shit. This motherfucker is, like, the boss. As he would say, he's like, you making things happen. Mm-hmm. And there's some impact to that. It's inspiring, right?
Right.
I always joke, and I'll wrap it up with this, but I used to always joke. I've said this on the pod before. It's like, sometimes I wish, not that we need to, but just based on the spirit of capitalism that we live in, it would be interesting to see, almost like a baseball card, your heroes, if you turned it around, to see what their financial situation was, financial status was when they passed,
mm-hmm.
right? Would that alter how you looked at them? You know what I'm saying? Even if they impacted culture or they impacted the world in such a way that we're going to talk about it forever. Mm-hmm. And you know that they died with X amount of dollars in the bank. Would you look at their impact differently? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, because I'm truly, you know, I'm seeing that more and more and more and more. I was watching Erykah Badu and Alchemist on Drink Champs, and she was like, look, money don't mean much to me. Now, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Erica's doing bad, mm-mm. but she was like, money's not my objective. I do art. I'm on the road. I perform. I, you know, and shit, dog. She's a legend.
Because,
you know
what I'm saying? Erica Chose is not cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her artist fee is not low.
Her artist fee ain't low, and she travels with a crazy band and all types of other, like, all of her cases and all of this shit, like, she's talking about, you know, like, so doing good, but mm-hmm. also it's like, sometimes we can get so caught up in the capitalism of it all, we can miss the point. But at mm-hmm. the same time, that's also the byproduct of a lot of that era of hip hop. You know what right. I'm saying? It was about money and Austin, you know, being ostentatious and all of this right. other shit. So sometimes if it don't fit what was presented to you at one point, you know what I mean? After a little bit of scrutiny, mm-hmm. it could be hard to process.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it was some funny lines in that motherfucker.
Outside the funny lines, both sides. There was a couple of points in there that I thought was some pullouts. You know what I'm saying? Not in just an entertaining way, but just in a way of pointing out some contradictions. You know what I'm saying? As they were trying to do with him, but as they were talking, they were just continuously contradicting themselves between mm-hmm. you know Envy and Charlamagne. So it's like when he pointed out the fact that he's like, Wendy Williams is your OG.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then Charlamagne got defensive and tried to go against that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he broke it. He's like, wait, listen. You know what I'm saying? She the one gave you the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She the one taught you the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're doing this exact same thing that you came in doing with her. So it's kind of disrespectful for you not to, you know what I'm saying? So I thought that was a very poignant point because it's like, yeah, it is kind of disrespectful. To, you know what I mean? No matter how they feel about it, yeah, she did give you the opportunity. So she is one of your OGs. All right? You might not like the way that sound, but okay. And then when they were talking about billionaires, right, and he was trying to say that a lot of rich people put their stuff in trust and a lot of stuff is not in their name. You know, and then was saying that you wouldn't know that because you don't know how that shit go, but you out here talking like you know how it go and people are listening to you. And then he goes on to say about the bankruptcy. He was like, well, look at Donald Trump. He has 8 bankruptcies, blah, 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 blah. And then Charlamagne immediately goes in and says, yeah, he's a terrible businessman. He's coming. But he was like, but he's a billionaire. Y'all just, we were just talking about, but he didn't tie it back like that. But I'm thinking, mm-hmm. like, y'all was just talking about billionaires being, you know what I'm saying, this mm-hmm. thing. But now he's talking about a billionaire that's the president that has 8 bankruptcies, and now all of a sudden the billionaire is a con artist. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, he's right. You actually don't know about the business side of these things, but you're talking like you do. And that's almost always the problem with that type of thing, because they put that shit out there just talking out the side of their neck, and then everybody bites on it. And then when you come in, it's just, let's talk about the stuff that the people bite on and not the real information. And it's kind of like when he said, if y'all wanted to talk about bankruptcy, if y'all not going to believe me, why don't y'all bring mm-hmm. a real
expert,
a real bankruptcy attorney? And that's some real mm-hmm. producing, you know what I'm saying? But that's not how they doing it. They just throwing out points. So it exposed some of the cracks in our pundits that just be talking that shit, even though we talk shit, but it's not to be taken seriously. And you know what I'm saying? This is just two niggas on the pod talking and not a major media outlet. And I'm talking like I'm going to sit with presidential candidates and fucking just tell you guys who the fuck to vote for. Shit like that. So most of that going to go over everybody's head, but I was actually glad to take that out of that interview between all of the shenanigans.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of shenanigans. It's definitely some defensiveness on both sides of it. So the conversation devolved and it became like, rather than letting points like hit, it became we trying to win. It became like the fight. And to your point, if you are inclined or savvy enough, you could pick through it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, it shouldn't even be like that. But this is what it is. You got to pick through it and put the BS to the side. It was funny when they brought up Daniel, and he kind of said that in short. He was like, all that little bubblegum shit y'all doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, this, and this. And it was just like, yeah, like, let's not lose focus. Like, you know what I mean? Let's not. It's very easy to lose focus. And all that. I just like that shit with a nigga again.
He was holding
back
on
to
that shit, too. He was waiting, couldn't wait to say some
for
shit.
For sure. For sure. For sure. You know what I'm saying? All that bubblegum shit y'all doing. Oh shit, man. That's bud talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't fuck with that nigga.
Nah, not at all. Not at all.
You like, call your shit bubblegum. You might as well go ahead and wrap it up, man.
Exactly. Like, what, I mean, what you gonna do? So there that go. Shit, man. But yeah, man. It's definitely it was good radio at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? It was good. It was good radio if you were to, you know. Mm-hmm. For radio's sake, for sure. It's a good listen, and it's going to get the engagement. It's going to be people on either side of the aisle. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I've already seen it. Never have him back on the show again. I can't believe
clips,
he went up
them
there.
Them clips immediately, but it's all the bullshit, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. You know, the bullshit circulate. Bullshit does better than the...
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I heard that little whoop-dee-doo. what you call it? Was it Suede the Remix? Yeah, I heard that.
It wasn't one of his best, but the part was the whoop-de-doo part was cool, but then it's the part I think he's like, God damn, that part, I'm like, that's a whole song right there. You need to just clip that. But
I gotta hear that part. I just heard like a little clip, a little snippet or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a whole other thing.
That's that, man. Listen, before we go, I just wanna give a rest in peace to Sidney Brown, aka Omen. You know, talented producer, you know, produced from everybody from, you know, they've been saying, you know, Beyonce, Drake, Fab, you know, you know, shit, I, full transparency, at one point, me and my partner from back in the day, Nicole Planton, we used to manage Omen for a bit. You know what I'm saying? He was super talented. Super, like I said, like just a real good spirit. Like real good spirit, real chill. We were just talking about this earlier today. Like, he could seem so subdued, but at the same time, excited about shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's a wild balance to have. Everybody damn near knew Omen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he wasn't like, he ain't had to be in the mix, but he was in the mix. He was just somebody that was there. You know what I mean? And like, respected. He knows how to pull people together. You know what I'm saying? He was visionary in his approach to music, you know, bring all types of collaborators, like great at collaboration, great at identifying new talent. Like, he's the first person to ever play Drake for me. He did a record, you know, he did this record, this Mickey Fax record. It was Mickey Fax, Travis from Gym Class Heroes, and an unknown Drake on this record called Overdose for Life. Overdose on Life. And it was like, I just remember the beat was crazy. And I'm like, who this? He was like, this is Kid Drake. Da 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 da. And then shit started. You started to hear his name, you know, shortly after. And, you know, we see where that career went. But like, he was tapped in. But beyond just, you know, him as his musical talent, like, again, I can't stress enough, it was just a real genuine good dude. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we didn't talk a lot. Like, we would talk damn near like annually. I would hit him on his birthday, 8/21. I would hit him on his birthday. And the reason I always remember to hit him on his birthday is because back when we were, you know, working his music and shit like that, he sent me a beat on it. And you know how you'd be labeling the beats. One of the beats was 8/21. I guess he did it on his birthday, and it was crazy. Like, that was one of them joints where I was like, this shit is bananas. So it stuck out, you know. And it was just like, yeah, man. I just heard about it today, and it's It's terrible news. Man. You know what I mean? He's 49 years old, man.
He was from New York.
He's from Harlem. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's from Harlem. The last time I seen him in that studio, he had a studio space right in Harlem. He was working out of the Just Blaze had a studio on the east side of Harlem. I'm not sure if that's still there anymore, whatever, but he had a room in there. This was years ago. Mm-hmm. But, like, he worked all over the place. Yeah, he was from Harlem, you know, born and raised in New Yorker. Official, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Musically and just as a person, you know, it's a tough loss. He's going to be missed by a lot of people. And, yeah, I just wanted to... give him a rest in peace shout. Salute.
Salute.
Alright, y'all. So we out of here. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We go.